This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Welcome back to another episode of The Mac Rumor Show. I am Dan. We have Hartley here as usual. No guests today. Kind of another one of those weeks of just like, get me to WWDC, I feel like, is where we're at. We're gonna try to talk about some things that are still interesting and, you know, stuff that we weren't able to cover over the last couple of weeks. No more Siri AI talk. I feel like I'm done with that until...
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. I mean, we had some great guests. Those were some really good episodes with Mark and John. And so I think we'll put that to rest until other big news comes out. I don't want to keep hammering. I kind of feel bad. Not that I should feel bad about hammering Apple for something that is entirely their fault, but it's just we'll wait and see until those actual features come out if they ever do. I wanted to talk about a couple of things this week. We didn't get a chance to talk about that. I think we briefly touched on it with Mark Gurman. This was like right around that time that that news kind of broke, and that was iPadOS. I know we've kind of beaten iOS 19 kind of to a pulp. We won't do that as much either. But there are more rumors again, stop me if you've heard this before, that iPadOS 19 is going to be more macOS like. What do you think? You think this is actually going to happen or no?
It's so difficult to say because we've heard this so many times now.
Yes.
But I am inclined to believe that there will be improvements in this area. As far as I remember, iPadOS 18 didn't really do a whole lot in this area. iPadOS 17 introduced Stage Manager, and that was obviously a very delayed thing. And there have been improvements in this area over the years, going way back with things like Split View and Slide Over, and even subtler improvements that are easy to forget about, like desktop class apps, and even the fact that we now have ostensibly Logic and Final Cut on the iPad as well. So there definitely have been improvements in this area. Obviously not enough improvements. But I have mixed feelings now because I've kind of got to the point now with the iPad where I don't really need it to be a Mac replacement. I think for many years, my perspective was that it really needed to catch up with the Mac. I don't really feel like that anymore. How do you feel?
I think I'm with you, but I feel like I could go both ways. Like if you're telling me that we pretty much have macOS on the iPad or something really similar to it, I think that would take it to the next level, to be honest with you. I think it would be something that I would be... I don't think I need it anymore. Like you said, I think I'm fine without it. There are plenty of times over the last 5 years where you're like, this is such a powerful machine that does nothing that it should be doing. And now I feel like it's gotten to the point where I'm okay with it. But if it can get to a point where it's very macOS-like, I don't know. That'd be really tough for me to be like, oh, yeah, no, we didn't need this. I think we'd all come around and be like, what took so long to get there? But I'm just having a hard time visualizing this. Like you said, iPad OS 18 didn't really focus, you know, much in this area. It didn't really focus much on iPad-specific things at all. It was a lot of carryover from previous things that we got with the iPhone, and so like a lot of customizations or things just at the same time, just feature parity across the board. Unless I'm wrong, when was the last time we got a pretty major iPad specific feature? Nothing is coming to mind right now besides like a couple of the pro apps that are coming out, but that's not really a feature, I would say, because not everyone cares or is going to use those. They don't come stock with the iPad.
And I actually have turned Stage Manager off on my iPad. I don't have it enabled by default.
Okay.
It's just not a good enough feature for that. And maybe that's because I have the 11-inch iPad Pro. So it does feel just a tiny bit too small for that. But even when I had my previous model, which was the 13-inch iPad Pro, Stage Manager still wasn't overly compelling. And I did use it connected to an external monitor as well. It was pretty good, but it's just not as good as a Mac. I feel like if I was not able to use a Mac ever again, I'd be pretty happy with the iPad. But the issue is when you have both a Mac and an iPad, for anything that isn't just media consumption, a bit of browsing, maybe looking through your photos library, reading some news, I just default to my Mac.
Yeah. I mean, I think we need a better file system on the iPad if it's going to be taken seriously. I'm not sure if that's one of the rumored things. I feel like it's mostly like productivity, multitasking, and like window management related stuff, which is fine. And it's definitely needs an improvement. I mean, that's basically just attacking Stage Manager. But I feel like there needs to be, and people used to complain about Finder all the time. And I don't know that people still like Finder. I think it's fine. And I would like something like Finder on the iPad. I think that what we have on the iPad is, it's not great. And if it could be like Finder, that could be helpful to making it more like, okay, now I feel like I could edit some videos. I have a nice file structure. I know where things are at. It's easier to get to, you know, these larger files and know exactly where I can save them. And I just need things to kind of act more in that way. Because in my brain with the Files app, like on your iPad and like, where I don't know where things go half the time. It's getting better. It's definitely getting better. But I just feel like we need that ability to kind of have more with the file management. And then I don't know. I don't really know what you can do to Stage Manager that could be besides just making it full blown Mac OS style Windows, right?
I think that there is maybe a case to have a toolbar at the top, a menu bar. And I think that some of the like the traffic light buttons, even if those kind of pop out when you hover in that area, would be a little bit more intuitive than the way that it currently works. But for me, the biggest issue with productivity on the iPad, if I really try to distill it down about why I reach for my Mac over my iPad, it comes down to the fact that the iPad feels slower. And I'm not referring to actual processing speed or how fast it is to open apps, but to achieve a productive task on the iPad simply takes longer. It feels like it involves more clicks. It feels like the trackpad is less responsive in some way. And I struggle to fully articulate that sensation. Yeah. But if it's something as simple as I want to, work on my calendar, say, review my calendar for the day. Dragging calendar events around, increasing the blocks, re-titling things, it is significantly faster to get that done on my Mac. I feel like I can open my Mac, do that in under a minute and put it away. But on the iPad, I feel so much friction. And I think this probably is actually due to a variety of issues. I think probably it's because the iPad is a tiny bit too small, even the 13-inch, the display. I think that Stage Manager isn't as strong as it should be. I think that the actual way these apps are designed is not as intuitive or responsive for productivity tasks with a cursor, because they are touch first, which means that things tend to be buried in menus a little bit more than they are on the Mac. And lastly, the trackpad. There is definitely something about that cursor and trackpad combination that feels slower than the Mac's trackpad and a traditional pointer-shaped cursor.
That's what I wanted to say. I really think for me, and it could be so stupid and wrong, but I feel like most of it to me is just, if we just change that little circle to the pointer like we have on the pointer cursor like we have on the Mac, I feel like it would just in my brain make way more sense. It would feel faster. I feel like I'd have more precision when I'm trying to select things. And that could be entirely wrong. It could most likely just be the fact that you said these apps are built for touch. And so that's kind of where we're at in the sense that like it's just not designed for the cursor as much. But in my brain, I'm seeing something that's a circle and it's snapping to the grid and it's like trying to like make you go somewhere where you might not necessarily want to go. Where with the cursor on the Mac, like I'm shaking mine around right now. I know where it's going to go because I'm the one who's making it go that way. It's not trying to snap to something.
I think part of the issue is that snapping, because when the cursor merges with a button, you actually lose visibility of the exact location of that cursor. So then when you try and drag off it, you don't fully know where the cursor will be located when you do that, which just slows things down. Like if I want to drag things the cursor across my screen to get to the other side and it ends up getting held up on buttons along the way, it just feels like it adds some delay. It's a very, very hard thing to fully describe.
Yeah.
I think the solution here, if it were me, and I'm not by any means skilled in UI design or UX or anything like that, so this is just my hunch, I feel like at some point the iPad has got to offer two different modes for two different audiences. That isn't to say that it needs macOS, but I think there are some people who really need the iPad to be a very simple computer, something where when you press an app, it takes up the full screen. There is none of this slide over. There is no multitasking functionality, really. There's no ability to open multiple windows. And everything is kept very simple, big touch targets. People that don't want a fully fledged computer are very happy with that. And that's maybe what I would use when I want to just consume some media or do some light browsing. Mm-hmm. But then if I am using my Magic Keyboard, and I am using multiple applications, then I feel like it does need a pro mode. Even if that's exclusive to the iPad Pro and the iPad Air, I feel like it needs, and Stage Manager is kind of that because you have to select it in Control Center. So Apple kind of does imagine Stage Manager as a pro mode, but I feel like it should go further where maybe you do get that menu bar. And it is more macOS-like. And that's what Mark Gurman said in this report. He described it as iPadOS 19 being more macOS-like. So I wonder if that does mean that we'll get the traffic light buttons, we'll get a more powerful file manager, and maybe we will get a different cursor.
I just don't see that, though. No, I don't know. Those are the things that I would like. I just don't know that Apple's going to succeed that, you know, like basically admit that they were not wrong, but like, wasn't that the big thing where it was like, is iPadOS going to be macOS? And then like the big no dropped in, right? Was that?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like that was such a arrogant onstage thing to do that if you're going to do that and then backtrack like 4 years later.
But it doesn't need to be macOS, and there would be many things that are different. But at a certain point, going back to the calendar app, there is a stage at which there is a calendar app that is designed best for touch on a smaller display like an iPhone or an iPad mini, or even just maybe the 11-inch iPads, and then the 13-inch iPads, and you have them connected to an external keyboard. That is a different experience that demands different optimizations. And in the same way that these apps do kind of scale up from the iPhone, I feel like maybe the next stage is to have another level that you can scale up to and be a more professionally oriented platform, ultimately.
There are two areas that I want Apple to kind of explore more, borrow some inspiration from Samsung. One, their multitasking is much better in the sense that you can do like 3 to 4 apps in that split view mode, basically. Have them tiled up. It's not like laying over it, but you can have 4 apps in like a grid and just they all work at the same. You can touch them all at the same time if you want to. There are multiple points. Like, it just makes more sense to have more of that flexibility. And then, because I don't really love slide over. I don't want it to be over another app. I want them to have 3 separate. Like, I get why it's there, and it's fine.
I like slide over in a limited way. Like,
sure.
The time I like slide over is if I have 2 applications open in split view, and I prefer split view to Stage Manager, and say I've got, I don't know, Pages and Safari, and I'm writing something. I like the ability to slide over to the music app. Mm-hmm. So that I can skip through or do something like that and then tuck it away because I don't need to see it all the time.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. I personally would like, you know, 1 app taking up half the screen in a vertical formation and then 2 like squares to fill out the rest. And 1 be like a movie that actually fits, you know, that box and isn't like letterboxed even more inside of that, like something that you could just have a little bit more flexibility with. I know I can do, you know, the overlay with, you know, it's playing in the background, but like, it's still not quite that. Like, if you want to have true macOS fashion, you can do these things. And that's what I want. And then, you know, slide over is fine. I'm not saying get rid of it. There's still a use case for it, but I just think we need more flexibility in that. And the other thing is honestly, how great would it be to have some sort of like DeX style component to the iPad at the very least, but to your iPhone? If you can plug in your iPhone to a studio display and it uses both chips that they're running now to be able to give you, like, even if it's just a limited fashion macOS version of like the apps that are on your phone and it's just the core apps maybe, you know, and you want to get some things done, how amazing would that be? That would be so great. And DeX isn't bad. I just don't want to use those apps. I don't want to use that ecosystem. But like, it makes plenty of sense. You could start writing an email on your phone and then you'd be like, you know what? This needs a little bit more work. Plug my phone in. I just feel like a lot of people wouldn't need a laptop though. So then it would be...
I feel like it's not out of the question that Stage Manager could eventually come to the Pro iPhones, especially when we have foldable iPhones in the future.
Yeah.
Because then it feels like there is a stronger argument. If these are large display foldables on the internal display, if that runs iPadOS effectively, at that point, it's hard to justify, especially considering it probably will have Thunderbolt connectivity by then, that you could just connect to an external display and continue.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of where I would like to go. I just, I don't know. I feel like it's going to be some slight improvements to Stage Manager, and which is good. It needs the attention, but I think we're going to get our hopes up again, and I feel like it's going to get squashed. Maybe I'm just being too pessimistic, but, you know, I guess if you have low expectations, then you, you can't, get hurt as much when it doesn't happen.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Speaking of low expectations, I honestly had some pretty low expectations about the iPhone 17 Air. I still kind of do. But I don't know if you saw those dummy models recently. kind of looking good. I'm not going to lie. That is very appealing. I hate to say it because it's such a superficial thing to be like, wow, that phone is the size of the buttons on the side of the phone. Like, that's the width of it. Ooh, I might be able to sacrifice some things if it means that I can just slide this thin phone into my pocket and it's just taking up a lot less space. It's so light. Lighter can sometimes feel premium. I know that's weird because we always talk about how premium the Pro phones are. They're heavier. They've got better materials. But, like, I don't know. Just something about it is catching my attention. What do you think about those new renders?
I think that the most interesting thing is that the buttons on these dummy models for the Air are thinner than the buttons that you get on the other models. So if they were to put the buttons from the other models on the Air, they would actually be too thick. That's how thin this device is, which I think is incredibly impressive. I think it will actually be really popular. I think there are obviously some drawbacks. So there is going to be no SIM card slot, which in some countries that is a much bigger deal, like in China. So that will probably hold back sales a little bit. There is going to be no ultra-wide or telephoto camera. So yes, you'll be able to crop in on that 48 megapixel sensor, but you ultimately only have one camera. So this is going to be a very similar experience to using something like the iPhone 16e. And there are some other trade-offs, like you only get one speaker, so there won't be stereo speakers on the device because there isn't the space for it. But other than that, I mean, you're still getting ProMotion. You're getting an OLED display. It's a larger display as well than you would get on the standard iPhone 17. And you're getting a totally new design.
So my biggest thing with the 16e isn't so much the camera. I think the camera is fine, although I am going to miss the telephoto lens. I think in a perfect world, if the 16e or if the 17 Air had both the standard wide lens and then the telephoto lens, I would use that more than the ultra wide personally. I could be in the minority. Would love to hear from whoever's listening. If you agree or disagree, let us know. But like, I feel like I would want the telephoto more. I would like to zoom in more with better quality than I would to want to take that step back. And I'm not into the macro stuff, which you can also do on a telephoto lens if you wanted to as well. So there's a way to figure that out. But the biggest thing for me is how light it feels. The size is perfect. I know you said it's a little bit bigger, so I kind of have some hesitation. But like, if the display was better, if the lack of ProMotion kind of kills me a little bit, I would use the 16e. I would use it now, honestly. I really don't have any reasons not to. I think it's a great phone. And I know that sounds crazy, but I just love how minimal and light and just nice it is. I think the Air could be kind of making up for everything that it's not on the 16e to the point where I feel like I might honestly give it a true shot for a while and see how it goes. Although I say that now, but I don't know what the Pro is going to have in terms of features. And then am I going to get FOMO with
that later?
I think
this will be a more stagnant year for the Pros. This year, all of the models are going to have an upgraded front-facing camera, so you won't miss out on that with the Air. And there is this upgraded telephoto camera, so that will be boosted to 48 megapixels, which means that you should be able to crop in on that as well. So it may have even further throw, so we're thinking about 7x zoom, but then you can zoom out to 3.5. So it would be stepped, like you can get 0.5, 1, 2, 3.5, and 7, which is a pretty significant upgrade for that device. And then there's, of course, all of the other things that the Pro models have, such as always on display. But I don't know how essential they are. I think that many people who are currently users of the Pro models will actually be very tempted by this device, especially if it comes in some nice colors. It feels very fresh, looks very different. I can see a lot of people jumping ship to this.
Yeah, I think they're going to sell a lot. The finish is going to be important. The colors are going to be important. I'm curious to see. I kind of really like, I know they're just dummy models and they're just made from 3D printed, you know, material, but I kind of like the blue that everybody's getting on these dummy models. Like, that would be kind of cool. I'd be fine with that type of dark blue, but I don't think that's, you know, it's, don't read into any of that. That's just what the filament that was used for those. But yeah, I mean, I am very curious about this phone more and more. And I am also curious on Samsung's version, which should be coming out pretty soon. Yeah. They're going to beat Apple to that. It was supposed to come out now. It was supposed to be out already, and then there were rumors that it got pushed. So now we're looking at next month. So it's still going to beat Apple a little bit in that. And that's, you know, pretty much a slimmed down version of a phone that already exists. So I'm curious to see what the reaction is for that as well. I can see this being insanely popular for a lot of reasons. So I am very curious. Speaking of blue colors, what do you think of that sky blue iPhone 17 Pro? That's kind of rumored to be the new color this year.
I can completely believe it. I think that Sierra Blue was incredibly popular with the iPhone 13 Pro, and it was sort of a matter of time before Apple returns to a light blue iPhone. We also know that with this frosted back glass with the titanium frame, Apple has struggled in recent years to offer brighter colors on the Pro models, and it doesn't really seem very keen to anyway. So I'm more inclined to believe that there will be a lighter shade of blue. And I think that the blue on the MacBook Air does feel very fresh. I know it's very pale, but it does look different in different lighting conditions. And I think it's a very neutral blue. A lot of people will be very happy with that. I also think, and this is a little bit of a controversial take, and I say this as someone who does have a natural colored iPhone 16 Pro. I also had a natural iPhone 15 Pro. Natural is feeling a little bit tired now.
Oh, well, because you've had it for 2 years.
Yeah. But I feel like if Apple was going to replace any of the colors, they're not going to replace black. They're not going to replace white. They've only just reintroduced gold. This is the color that is most likely to go. And also, considering how pale sky blue is, it does almost look gray. It doesn't look white. It looks gray. It would look very similar to this, just with a bluish tinge. Yeah. So I can imagine that this is the color that will be phased out, and it would be replaced with sky blue. Actually, I'm thinking of going for silver and white this year, so I probably wouldn't buy this. I think it would be a very nice color.
I think I'm going back to black, especially if it's anywhere near the like feeling that I have with the 16E. That black, that frosted like matte black, is perfect, and I want that. I haven't had a black iPhone in a long time. But that's boring, and I also always get the new color because the new color is what people are usually interested in. So for the sake of views, I don't usually pick for myself. Like this one that I have here, this is that gold one, probably wouldn't be my first choice. I take sacrifices for you all out there. I just want you to know.
I get the new color. Yeah, I get the new color for us.
I loved when that titanium, natural titanium was the color because that was the one to get. I liked it. I miss it a little bit, but yeah, we'll see. I just feel like we could do an entire colors episode, and it'll just be the same thing that we've talked about in the past. We just need to, can we just get a little bit more bold? I don't understand this philosophy of like, it's gotta be boring. I feel like,
I think Apple probably has market research on that. I feel like
they have to,
bolder the colors that there are, the more sales decline. And so in order to be palatable to the enormous numbers of people that buy these devices, and the numbers are huge, more neutral colors are more appealing. It's a little bit like with the idea of this blue. If Apple was to offer a really lurid, bright blue, fewer people would be interested in buying that than this soft sky blue. The same goes, you know, we've talked about like how cool it would be to have like a bronzy orange iPhone.
Yeah, never happened.
That's exciting to us because it's different.
Yeah.
But would the average person who maybe buys an iPhone every 4 years or something, is that going to be what they pick up? Probably not.
No. It's professional. It's more classic. It's the cars. Like, why are all the cars out there, you know, black, white, gray? Most of the cars. And then occasionally you see a pink one and you're like, what is that? You know, that's pretty much what a pink iPhone is these days. Like, but I just, the other day I saw somebody that was like, I bought this phone. I wanted a Pro, but I didn't because I specifically wanted a pink phone. So like, she got what she wanted.
And also sometimes the colors are really outstanding. I think that the midnight green of the iPhone 11 Pro really stands out. That was great. The Pacific blue was also really nice the following year on the iPhone 12.
I like the green and the blue on the current 16s. I think those are really nice.
Yeah, they are nice. I also really liked the soft pink on the iPhone 15, which of course I never had because I've always had a pro model. But sometimes they do come out with colors that just are really nice.
Yeah.
And these, to me at least, do tend to be the softer colors. Some of the colors have been pretty ugly. I think the purple iPhone 14 Pro was pretty horrendous.
Oh, yeah, I had that for a while. Not my favorite. And honestly, I thought I would like the midnight. Was that was like, what, 15? The 15 Pro had the midnight blue or midnight titanium or whatever it was. What was that color?
I think that was just black titanium.
No, there was a blue.
Oh, yeah, that was just blue titanium. That's all they called it.
Oh, okay. Whatever. I mean, it's like a midnight color almost.
Yeah.
But yeah, that blue titanium, it's fine.
It was too dark.
It was too dark. Yeah, it doesn't, you know, if you're going to get a color, I want people to know it's a different color. Like I want, you know, otherwise they're going to be like, what do you have? You have the black one there? That's original. But we make the jokes, but that's what people want. So, and that's probably what I'm going to get, to be quite honest with you. I will, maybe I'll get the blue and a black one. I don't know. We'll see. Anything else that really stuck out to you this past week that you want to chat about?
Well, speaking of midnight, there now are the rumors that the Apple Vision Air is going to come in midnight, which is very believable given that there are components that are in this finish. There is a power connector for the battery that leads up to the headset that is in midnight, and it's in Apple's very distinctive sort of, it's almost black, but it's got that hint of blue in it. But it's an anodized colored finish instead of plain silver, and it's even got the color matching cable. So it looks like that is going to be this Vision Air product, which supposedly will also use titanium to reduce some weight on internal components and will apparently be thinner. So that's pretty exciting because it will look quite different. I think if you took the Vision Pro right now and did it in a dark midnight colorway, even including like the knitted band and everything, it would look very different and quite striking. And if Apple really wanted to drive some interest in this new Vision Air product, I think this would be a great way to do that, because I think the softer colors are not really going to do it for the Vision product line.
Now, part of me, I mean, this is a pretty convincing image. A part of me wants to be skeptical about this and wonder if this is like an AI
this
recolor.
Source, yeah. I don't think so. This source is very good on accessories and cables. So previously, they came out with Fine Woven. They told us what Fine Woven would be called. They told us that Apple was planning to replace all their accessories. And they actually showed us the first images of Fine Woven as well. They even knew about the new Thunderbolt cable that was designed for the iPhone 15 Pro. Many of these things have come from this one source. So they clearly are very well connected. So I absolutely believe this.
Hey, I'm all for it. I think lighter, cheaper option for Vision Pro, get into more people's hands, new color option, freshen it up a little bit. I don't see the harm in that, but what's the target release for this next year?
I think it will be 26 to 27, so yeah, it depends when we get the second gen Vision Pro. That is supposedly going to be at the end of this year or early next year, but that is just an M5 refresh. So I could absolutely see that coming out this year. I think that then a Vision Air probably does need to follow in the next 12 to 18 months. And we don't have a concrete time frame on that yet. It's still a little bit far out. But the fact that there are early components floating around out there would suggest that this probably is within the next two calendar years.
We'll get there.
It'll go fast. And
it will.
By then, if you consider that we'll be up to like Vision OS 4, it should be quite interesting to revisit the Vision Pro around that time, or Vision Air, whatever this is going to be called, because the platform should be a lot more mature. So even if, say, the display technology isn't an enormous amount better, there is every chance that pass-through will be better, that multitasking will be better, that everything will feel more responsive, and that there will be a better suite of content consumption apps, productivity apps, and just the experience of using the device should be considerably more polished. I definitely want to dive back into Vision Pro. I'm quite tempted to do that when the M5 version comes out.
I was just, real quick, keep it a couple sentences. What do you think Vision OS, well, this will be three. What do you think Vision OS 3 is going to be? Big update, little update, kind of in the middle?
I think it probably will be a small update. I mean, Vision OS 2 was very small. That just changed some gestures.
I was thinking maybe.
It added keyboard pass-through. I'm not enough into the AR, VR space to be able to think, oh, well, Meta headsets do this thing and Vision Pro doesn't, so that feature should come over. But it will be really interesting to see, because Apple's other platforms are so mature. Think of macOS is really mature, but even watchOS. I mean, how much stuff can you do to these platforms?
Sure.
I know with iOS, they can give it a new lick of paint and change the UI and make it more Vision OS-like in terms of design. But essentially, these platforms are sort of done, but Vision OS is far from that. And that is a space where we can expect to see a lot of change over the coming years, especially as the Vision product line grows and develops. If it is eventually going toward glasses, it will be really interesting to see if eventually we get things like facial recognition and it pops up with a little contact card, integration with the weather app when you use it outside. What about activity? What about health? Can it integrate with eye health monitoring? Considering that it's got eye tracking, is there any sort of vision testing that can be done with it as a device? There are huge upgrades in these sorts of areas that are just not going to be possible on devices like the Mac. Gaming is maybe a good one for this year that is more believable in the immediate term.
Yeah, controller input of some sort would be something that I would want to see. I think if you were mentioning like bringing something over from Meta's, you know, headset, I think it's not something that you should require and need to use to like get through the, but just as a supplement, especially for gaming, I think that'd be really cool. I don't know if Apple will ever do that. I don't know. Maybe a third party integration where they're just kind of like, hey, you can do this. But yeah, that's our show. I just want to mention real quick. I saw you mentioned the Apple Watch, and I saw this morning. Shout out to Justine. She posted a picture of the Think Different Apple Watch. Have you seen that? The round one from, oh my God, you have to look it up. It's like an actual analog watch.
I've seen this.
Yes, yes. Oh, I want one so bad. I've been scouring the internet trying to find one that's not $1 million. That, I feel like Apple should do some sort of anniversary. Make a circular watch. The circular watch looks so good. Make it like this. You could do it. Even if it was a stripped down version.
The single thing that in the years we've been doing this podcast, you've asked for the most times.
Yes, this is.
I am actually here for it. I agree with you.
Right? I mean, it looks good. I don't even care if it runs like, I don't know. It's stupid. Apple will never do this. I guess never say never, but this will never happen. This is just more of a wish list for me. So don't start yelling at me saying I'm off base. I'm well aware that I am. But if it was just like an anniversary edition of this watch and it had some smart functions where it could like just track health and steps in just one little circular app that they made for it, and then it just gives you notifications, that would be my watch right there. I don't need anything else. And it'd be circular. It would look cool. It'd still have like an analog thing. I don't know. I think a lot of people would buy that personally.
I would. I think that the space for the Apple Watch, if it were me, I would offer three different form factors with the Apple Watch. I would offer a entry level, sort of middle of the road, square Apple Watch, a little bit like what we have now with the aluminium models. Mm-hmm. Both on the SE and the series models. Then you have the ruggedized Apple Watch Ultra that is larger and more aggressive with a bigger battery. But I still think there is a space for a fashion-focused Apple Watch,
yes,
which Apple has experimented with things like the Apple Watch Hermes and also with the original models with the stainless steel, with how those were presented with the leather bands and the link bracelet and the Milanese loop and all of this emphasis on the sapphire crystal and how special those casings and models felt. If that was the model that was to go round, I think that's completely justifiable. And I think would actually make it a lot easier for customers to decide, am I like an Apple Watch sport entry-level user? Mm-hmm. Am I an Apple Watch Ultra sort of ruggedized extreme sports user? Or am I a fashion Apple Watch user?
I just think a circular Apple Watch would kill, and I will die on this hill forever. I will bring it up at least once a year.
I believe it.
All right. Let us know, you know, everybody's thoughts. You know the deal. And we'll catch everybody in the next episode.